Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast. I think I made myself a little bit lightheaded doing that. Still presented by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this show, we've got a smorgasbord for you. Haven't gotten to say that word in a while. We got some news. We got some notes. We got some goings-ons. We've got some analysis. And we got some games. We're going to play a little start bench cup, maybe a little minor league mayhem. We're dipping in. We're diving. But Patrick, the first news of the day, not much to analyze here, but everyone deserves a little good news every now and again. And it turns out that here, starting at the beginning of next month, Coors Field is going to be open at 70% capacity, getting that much closer to back to normal.
Over 30,000 folks there at Coors Field as we get closer to normalcy and as we quite literally get closer to the All-Star game, which there's definitely some hope that it will be full capacity at that point. Maybe not full capacity plus 3,000, you know, standing room only to squeeze more bodies in there. They might not necessarily do that, but you're right. That's huge news. That's great news. There's been some other discussions about various mask mandates for those that are vaccinated and whatnot. So things definitely seem to be on an upswing. We did experience this right around this time last year, essentially, when the weather started getting nice, and we know what happened. But nevertheless, hopefully we won't replicate that come fall. So right now, good news, more people coming back to the ballpark. Rockies still offering some good sales every once in a while. Shop around for tickets because they've been friendly price. They've been priced rather friendly. So it'll be cool to see folks back in the ballpark June 1st. The Rangers are home then, and then A's. You know, because when you want to celebrate and you think of Rockies baseball and going back, you think here's an A's.
Right. Just those all-time rival, whatever.
I mean, you know what? Who cares? It's baseball. That's what we love. Like Reds, Rockies, what history do they really have? Doesn't matter. Last night's game was interesting to say the least. This is why you go to the ballpark. This is why you watch the games. You're definitely going to see something either you've never seen before or something you just didn't expect to see happen.
Yeah.
And it's almost always going to happen with the Rockies and with any team. It happens with any team.
It really does.
That's why we love the game.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I saw some people saying on Twitter last night, like, this only happens to the Rockies. I was like, it really doesn't. It happens more Yeah, I will say it does happen a little bit more. It happens more at Coors Field and when you've got a bullpen that's rough. We'll get into that a little bit in just a minute, but we are just very excited on this day for the increased capacity and another sign that hopefully soon, again, as long as everyone's doing what they need to do out there, we're all taking care of it, getting vaccinated and those kinds of things. So good to see that. Then a few other just little bits of transactional news for the Colorado Rockies today. Justin Lawrence back up with the club. He's sort of getting we're going to have to keep track of this. Remember, it was 17 or 16 when Estevez was up and forth and back and back and back. I think it was 17, actually.
Might have been 17.
And so we've had this a little bit already with Justin Lawrence so far this year. He's been back and
third
forth.
Third time now. Back up.
Matt Adams with a shin issue going on the 10-day IL. There was a huge debate that broke out on Twitter the other day about Matt Adams. I still have no idea why. But if you want to argue about who should be the 26th man on this roster, knock yourselves out. I'm not going to stop you. I'm fine with it, but he's going to go on the 10-day IL. And so in the meantime, I guess the Rockies are just going up a pitcher.
Another body. They're going to need it. I think a little bit, you know, especially after, you know, a little bit of what transpired last night. They didn't really burn through too many arms victory. But you want to maybe give another guy an extra day off, tinker with some things, whatever it is. The in the Padres series for the doubleheader, they only had three guys on their bench. And again, we know why. Due to the restrictions with COVID-19 and guys testing positive. But, you know, hey, you can get away with that. You just don't have the options off the bench. So, you know, Rockies could use another body out there in the bullpen. And a young, exciting one like Justin Lawrence, good to see him get a little more MLB experience.
Yeah, anytime Lawrence is going to get the call, we've talked about it before, he's by no means a finished product, and that's why they're going to keep sending him down every once in a while to get more seasoning. He clearly needs it, but he's also very exciting. And when he's on, you know, he just scares the hell out of opposing lineup. So got to be excited about that. And Will, you're one step ahead of us there in the comments. Though again, remember, we got to get you over on the YouTubes. I know the Facebooks are, the Facebooks can be comforting, and I appreciate that. But yes, Rodgers of the Brendan variety. No Aaron Rodgers yet. Still, sorry there, Broncos fans, but Brendan Rodgers is hopefully on his way back to Denver here very soon.
That's right. He's batting third in the lineup tonight for the Isotopes, just behind Sam Hilliard. So it's great to see him back. I was worried that it was going to be a little bit longer than this. Same thing for Kyle Freeland, who's now scheduled to make a start next week. So you like that those two guys coming back kind of rounds the roster out a little bit better. I think you still have concerns about whether or not we're going to be talking about that magical number of 100. Actually, it's not very magical at all. Not in this instance, but you like seeing those guys come back because, you know, regardless of what it means for 2021, it definitely has implications going forward for the future, right? Those guys still having their contracts under control for several more years. Rodgers still has about it might only be, believe it or not, like this year and then four more, whereas Freeland only has two more left. But again, they are part of the picture in the future. You can obviously extend those guys. So it's great to see them back in the fold. Hopefully CJ Cron maybe will be back with the minimum stay on the IL as well. I imagine he's got to be getting close. With Matt Adams going on the IL, that doesn't necessarily have any implications for Crone, but doesn't matter because Connor Joe is locking it down. The different CJ.
It's the CJ the other
Crone
CJ.
And That's just right. and just CJ.
CJ.
That's right.
Joe. We'll talk a little more about Joe in just a minute. The other little bit of injury news there for those of you that saw it and have been worried in the last few minutes about the scratch of Raimel Tapia just coming out. I'm actually getting this from our friend Danielle Allentuck over at the Colorado Gazette, working with our guy. I just totally blanked out his name.
Paul Cleary.
goodness, how did I blank on? I had his face and his whole Gonzaga like presence and everything. Big Zags guy. So he had a lot of fun during this during March Madness. I love Paul Klee. But yeah, so I just feel so bad that I just blanked on it. He's been on this podcast a couple of times. But yeah, she's working with him over at the Colorado Gazette. She tweets out, Tapia scratch with thumb soreness. This is happening right now. I was going to try to listen into the press conference, but we're doing a live show. So Bud Black said it isn't serious. Tapia tried to hit in the cage earlier, thought he could use a day of rest and get some treatment. So
Drew, you're closer to this situation than I am. Any chance he actually hurt his thumb playing video games?
It happened. I will say, I got that little blister right there. You can see that. You can see that.
That's why people should be watching on YouTube is for close-ups of your blister. Is Tapia a gamer? I mean, we know Gray is, and we know these things happen. We know, and look, guys get injured in all kinds of crazy ways. Like, let me just make one up. You're carrying deer meat. That would never happen, but you go, it could happen.
Could.
Oh, it did. But we know that that's one of those weird things. I don't think Tapia is a big gamer. So for him,
I do think he plays FIFA. I think that's one thing he gets into is the FIFA. I'd have to double check that. That might be Carlos Estevez's answer to that question, because I was getting them both at the same time through Estevez. I know Estevez, he's the opposite of John Gray. Estevez plays sports games. Estevez likes to play as himself in MLB The Show.
I'm only a sports game guy.
Totally.
So we don't need to. So basically, we shouldn't start the conspiracy theories.
That out, maybe.
That yeah. John Gray. Hey, let's have some
thumb injury there.
Healthy fun and conspire about how he heard it, or maybe he was had full regalia of Ghostbusters gear and. He had some equipment. He got his thumb caught in one of those devices. No, it's Raimel Tapia. He keeps it pretty simple. He's a regular dude. It's a thumb injury. That's it.
How'd you like him getting on base three times for me after we were talking about that whole he broke the streak and we were frustrated with him a little bit there, especially when he got his extra at bat and extras and flew out to left. I was like, what happened there, man? Well, two hits, walk. Thank you. So much to ask.
Should also look to see
90% of the games you play. Is that so much to ask?
And what's their record when he doesn't get on base? I mean,
totally.
Well, they won that game, so maybe that's okay. Maybe somebody else has figured out. Maybe he has a different approach. He's like, hey, we're winning this game. Let me tweak my approach a little. Shouldn't he be doing that? Shouldn't he? I don't know.
You never
know. Go back, check the data.
So we'll have to see how the offense fares without him. Out there tonight putting up a big number, and they needed it in game one of the series. More big time plate appearances for you dudes. Well, really, your dude and Spence Smith, Stu. We got to have Spence back on the show at some point to give us the all Connor Joe show. But still doing it out there, man. Still having good at bats. The Connor Joe show continues. We talked about Tapia getting on base, and then more big RBI moments for Josh Fuentes. And the offense scoring 13 runs and needing all of them.
Yeah, Fuentes, he entered the Padres series with 6 RBI in the last 2 days, doubled that. So he's been on fire. You like to see that he's back. Got a little swagger. Sometimes getting a haircut will help that.
Never works.
That's right. Jonathan Daza also had 3 hits. In yesterday's game. And Connor Joe's been a good story for right now. He's certainly not going to be a guy that you're planning your future around, particularly because the Rockies right now have a couple good first base prospects. Michael Toglia a lot more so than Grant Levine, who is repeating low A after being with Asheville in 2019. So he's down in Fresno again working on a couple things. But Michael Toglia, we'll talk more minor leagues this year because that exists. So
we'll have to.
Toglia, homer's first 4 games of the season in Spokane. So he's been looking really nice, and like what you're seeing out of him. So and regardless, even if Joe isn't a major cog for this organization going forward, it's great right now. It's still just invaluable to have a guy like him on the team, slowing things down, saying, "Look, if you don't throw me a pitch." That's fine. I'm going to do my thing. Draw a walk to first base. And again, pass the baton. We've talked about it in days past. And I don't know if it was with Drew Goodman or not, about how Jason Giambi had that approach, right? A guy who won everywhere he went from Oakland, and then Yankees said, okay, we'll pay you an ungodly amount to bring that swagger to New York, brought it, and it actually didn't work quite as much, surprisingly, even with a payroll that was twice as much as the A's, but still brought a lot of those winning ways with him and said, look, I can only do so much. I'm not going to expand the strike zone. I'm going to pass the baton. So Connor Joe doing Giambi-like things. Tapia doing Mike Trout-like things.
Of course, as you expect him to do.
How am I the one saying these? This is your shtick, no?
Totally. I like hearing other people say it. I like, sometimes you cast the die and you let it. Was that a fishing analogy? I'm not a fisherman. I'm going to leave it there. But still, I just love it. I had to be the advocate for Raimel Tapia for 7 years. And now dude's advocating for his damn self. And the stats are kind of speaking for themselves. And the lack of strikeouts, the contact, the consistency of it. And people are seeing exactly, I would be nervous about it if he had, gone on some weird tear where he hit a bunch of home runs or, had gotten really hot or whatever. But the fact that this just looks exactly how it's always looked, how did he break out of his one-day slump? 2 singles and a walk. That's how. And that's how it's always going to be, And you've seen him. He can run into it every once in a while. If he tries to hit a home run, he can. But that's the experience, and that's what's going to be. I think Raimel Tapia, it's kind of too bad. I think if he had started his career 2-3 years earlier, you'd be saying this guy's going to get 2,500 hits. Now I still think Raimel Tapia could get 2,000 hits in his career. It depends on who he plays, but yeah. Wildly innocent. He gets on base. He's so difficult to throw the baseball by. I want DraftKings to do this, and I promise you this is a really fun game, whether you do it as a drinking game in the negative, or maybe you throw down a dollar or whatever for you and a friend, and you take – how many times in a game is Raimel Tapia going to swing and miss? I mean, count them. Just when he takes the hack, and you'll see him foul the ball straight back 4 or 5 times before you'll see him actually swing and miss. I'm like – I love it, dude. It's my type, but nobody plays the game this way anymore.
He hasn't changed his game. 80s.
Yeah.
As you said, he hasn't changed his game. If he did and he was hitting home runs all of a sudden to start the year, you go, all right, he's done something different. Let's see how it pans out. Is it going to last? Maybe not. Maybe. But no, he's doing the same thing, and he's building off of it. He's saying, look, this is my skill set. Let me continue to improve on it game by game. And it has a lot of value. And again, that consistency is something that has tons of value in the game. And whether or not, we're going to talk about it all season, and we talked about it off season, the future of the club, rebuild and not. Look, the Rockies aren't the only team that sees something in Raimel Tapia. If they happen to decide, look, let's just let's trade everybody away to the highest bidder, there are going to be some significant bids for some great prospects. Some good major league pieces that teams would be willing to give up in order to get Raimel Tapia. It's not just the fans that watch him at Coors Field or the people on this podcast. It's a legit skill set that he has right now that has tons of value across all major league teams.
Yeah, that 12% strikeout rate will play. So you'll play that. So we will toast our Breck Brews on this day to the offense getting it done, but really bigger. And I've got the Mountain Beach, as you can see. Here, if you're following us on the YouTube, make sure you're subscribed there. Got to toast it on this day to Chichi Gonzalez, who I'll tell you all about as soon as I'm done telling you all about what you get for becoming a member, other than just a bigger beer when you come down to the DNVR bar from our friends at Breck Brew. You get access to all that written content. You get right now, when you sign up for the annual, a free shirt from the DNVR locker, plus a free holistic stick from our friends at Holistic Wellness. Check them out, Holistik wellness.com. And then after you've gotten that free 10 milligram stick of CBD, you can use promo code DNVR30 to get 30% off. But do become a member today so you get all the written content, all the discounts, the shirt, the holistic stick, the access to the Discord channel, anything. And everything that's going on inside your Colorado sports orbit is right here for you when you become a member of the DNVR.com. So do that today. And then again, as I said, Rays, your Breck brews on this day in cheers of Chichi Gonzalez, because he was the counterexample, is what I like to say. There are these moments when, if you looked at the box score of a 13-8 game at Coors Field, you could very easily go, oh boy, hashtag Coors, there it goes again, that ballpark, that's ridiculous, this is total nonsense. And it's like, okay, well, then what business did Chichi Gonzalez have throwing 7 shutout innings of just like with no dominant stuff? You hit your spots, you work the edges, you pitch smart, and you can pitch 7 scoreless innings at Coors Field. And Chichi did it, and he was fantastic.
It runs counter to what is typically happening on the field most days. You try to blow the ball past guys. You know, I saw something recently about Sandy Koufax, where he said, like, yeah, I started becoming good when I realized it wasn't about, you know, missing bats, and it wasn't about making the other guy, you know, swing over the ball or just miss it. It was about getting them to hit it the way I wanted them to hit it and inducing weaker contact. We talked about it on the post game on Wednesday with Austin Gomber, and you look and you say, give up fly balls, dude. Doesn't matter. He's only given up, I think, 5 home runs so far this whole season, less than 1 a start. And yet the ball's in the air. Why? Well, guys aren't barreling up on it. And that was the case with Chichi last night. It's been the case a couple times with Chichi over the course of his career. Again, you know, he's really the epitome, for better or worse, of a number 5 starter. Not a guy you just call up to make a spot start. That's a little different. But he is a number 5 starter, and that's okay. Again, on this team, it is what it is. So you relish those moments that you have like this and say, man, that was a really special performance, made even more so by the fact when you see, as you pointed out, Drew, what happened with the bullpen, where they couldn't even get 6 outs. They gave up 8 runs over the course of 6 outs, whereas Chichi, 7 innings, no runs. Walked 1, only struck out 2. Again, not dominant, but effective. And that's all you need to be, is effective.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly effective. Almost as effective as getting manscaped. I'll tell you that. Very effective. Important thing to do, fellas. Get it done. Don't be out there being the last guy with the 70s bush. It's gnarly. It's gnarly. It's 2021. Time to get manscaped. Get it done. Get your lawnmower. Get your spritzer. Get your deodorant. Get your very comfortable pair of boxers, all from Manscaped. And you can get 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code DNVR at manscaped.com. Help them out. Help yourself out. And help out whoever's helping you out. Like, it's a win-win-win situation, fellas. It's well past time. You got to get it done. It just makes your life better in every way, as does eating beef from our friends over at Hassle Cattle Company. I have got an order on the way because I spent over $200 and got free shipping, loaded up on ground beef, ground chuck, bacon, got a couple of steaks in there, got some roast in there. They've got award-winning hamburgers. Wagyu beef from Hassle Cattle Company. If you've never tried it before, it could change your life. They're not using any of the hormones or antibiotics in the beef, treating it well. It tastes delicious. You can get 10% off when you use promo code DNVR10. And as I said, you get free shipping on orders over $200. I cannot recommend highly enough. We've also got Wagyu beef burgers down at the DNVR bar now if you want to try them out. Like, if you eat beef, and most of the people listening to this podcast do, you won't be disappointed. You just won't. I was getting, like, the promo, I think, was like $3.99 a pound for the ground chuck the other day. It's for much better stuff than what you're going to find at the grocery store. No need to buy beef at the grocery store ever again. Again, Hassle Cattle Company, HASSLECattlecompany.com. And somebody asked, we were down at the bar the other day, they're like, man, you really sell that beef hard. And I've bought a lot of it. Like, it's good. It's funny. It's like, because I don't want that sponsor to go away, because I keep buying all of their beef. It's like,
selfish? Technically, yes. Yes. But it's all right.
100%. Please buy their beef so I can keep getting the discounts and the free shipping and all this stuff.
You're selfishly considerate.
That's it.
Everyone benefits.
All right, let's play some games. Let's goof off a little bit. Let's start with a little start bench cut. We have the thingy. I always lose the graphic on this.
I beat you to it.
I know. There they are. Look at those handsome baseball boys. All right. Since those were such handsome baseball boys, I'll start you with a baseball one. I'll start you with what we named the podcast after today. We already had a few people in the comments answering this one. I'll say it for us. For those of you in the comments, I'll say you want to meet this person. For Patrick and I, we want to say to have them as a guest on the podcast. Larry Walker, Todd Helton, Carlos Gonzalez. And for those of you out there, who do you most want to meet in person? Second most. And if you had to do without.
All right. So, Drew, do you have your stand alone? Like, do you have the guy that you say, I'm definitely going to start or I'm definitely going to cut, right? You have the extremes. Do you have one of those two?
Mine fits, I think, kind of comfortably.
They're all kind of tight.
A little bit. It's okay. All tight. It's close but clear order between my three.
All right. I kind of have a definite cut. And again, it feels weird, but it's just cut in comparison. It's just cut in comparison. My cut is Todd Helton. Todd Helton, again, he's got to have some great stories. But he's a little bit drier, right? We don't get to see him around the stadium. We don't get to see him in baseball. Recently inducted in the College Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him. Hopefully, mm-hmm. he'll break out of that shell. We'll start to see him more. I'm sure he'd be make for a great hitting instructor, a roving hitting instructor going around. Sure. Even at just spring training, just hanging out with those guys, sharing those stories of, oh my gosh, 2007, pointing to the pictures and all that. Like, oh, this is the guy I've been hearing about. Here, you've got all the records. Your number is retired at Coors Field. You're number 17? Holy smokes, I never thought I'd meet you. That's fantastic for these young guys. So tons of value, and hopefully we see him come out of that shell. So for me, he's a cut. Then it's between Walker and Cargo. You can't lose with either of those guys. My first inkling was to start Cargo, but I'm actually going to switch and say Larry Walker. I'm going to go ahead and start him. Didn't realize how lovable he was really until his entry into the Hall of Fame. And so I think not that he has less to lose, but he's like, screw it. Like he's quite literally shown, screw it, man. Here's a story. Yep. I don't really care if it upsets anyone. Not that he's going to upset someone, but maybe I'll hold back a little bit. He's not holding back. And I think, you were there for, what was it, the 25th anniversary?
That's right.
Team in early 2018. So you've heard some of those stories. So I'd start Walker. And then on my bench, I'm feeling great because I got Carlos Gonzalez, the guy that basically gave me my first interview at the major league level. And I basically just said, hi, Cargo. And then he talked for 3 minutes straight. And I go, yep. I guess I'm going to write an article now because this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Yeah. So he's forever, legendary in my mind for that. So thank you, Carlos.
That is my order as well.
Oh,
yeah. And for similar reasons, and it's odd because it's like I'm more confident even that we could totally nail a Carlos Gonzalez appearance
just
because he's so great. And we've both talked with him before. But that was also then the reason why I ended up going with Walker, because I was like, well, I've asked him one question. I was in a small gaggle of reporters that had some back and forth with him, and it was a lot of fun and he was great. But to have him on and to get the stories and to do the whole thing, where I haven't really, I've had some of those experiences with Cargo, never really had it with Walker. And I'm with you. As much fun as it, I think it would have to have Todd Helton on the show. I'm not 100% sure. We'd really have to make sure that our questions were great because, he'll get you. Where, like you said, Cargo, you could say, hey, man, how you doing? And really great. The baseball's going on this way. I'm doing this with my family. I saw Robinson Cano the other day at something we were hitting, and then I went over and played a little basketball with some of the Warriors guys, and you know, it's just like, what?
5 minutes later, after saying hello, you've got a follow up question. You're like, all right, this is nice. And in fact, the funny thing is, yes, start Walker, but the cargo interview potentially could even be better.
I think like, so.
Right. That you know, it's hard to differentiate even between those two, and you just go, hey, you can't lose with either one, right? Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
Those guys are great. Okay. All right. A non-baseball one, but this is still technically in the realm of sports. So we've got of the other major sports, you're going to watch a game. You're watching football, start, bench, cut, football, basketball, hockey.
Ooh, very interesting.
Soccer, sorry to say, did not make the cut.
Partially because do you know the name of the league?
Which one? Oh, MLS. Okay.
That's a good indicator.
Tempt someone with soccer. Well, see, it's almost because I actually think both you and I would almost prefer to watch the Premier League or UEFA over.
Yeah, I would.
I think.
I actually would. But of the four major sports, I'll actually cut the NFL. I mean, again, I may end up watching more NFL than these other sports in general, and probably have in my life. But the NFL just doesn't offer as much to me as it once did. So I'd cut that. And man, that's really hard between the NBA and the NHL. Also really close. I would start NHL, I think. I would pick that as my start. Got to cover a little of the Colorado Avalanche, the Eagles games up there in Windsor/Loveland area a couple years ago. So that was really cool getting to see, you know, some of those young upstarts. And that was a fantastic experience and learned a lot more about the game from talking with those players, you know, Connor Timmins, Logan O'Connor, good old TJ. So I'd bench NBA, even though, again, the Nuggets, I think, have a lot of juice. Both the Avs and the Nuggets, they've got a lot going for them. Avs are going to be higher seeded than the Nuggets. The Nuggets do more flashier things, right? There's definitely a lot more that's hip, if you will, about the NBA than the NHL. But then again, you know what? If I'm going to watch the game and I'm there for the game, it's going to be NHL. I'm starting NHL, going to bench the NBA, and I'm going to cut the NFL. And Drew, you better not pick the exact same thing again.
We've been hanging out too much, man.
I should pick the NBA just in anticipation of you picking NHL.
Here's what's wild, though. Like 3 or 4 years ago, there's no way that would have been my order, but I do have the same order.
What was your order 3 years ago then?
So 3 years ago, I probably was more into, 3 years ago would have been NBA, start, NFL, bench, NHL, cut.
Okay.
There was a short period of time where I got back into the NFL really hardcore there for a while, but I was a basketball guy, you know, during the Carmelo era, as everybody knows, like that I was really, really into that team. So there was a long time where the NBA even gave, you know, baseball a run for its money at times. But now I've really gotten into this hockey team, and the hockey people have so embraced me over there, and the DNVR Avs crew have been so cool, and like the whole thing has been great, and it's new and fresh and exciting, and they're really good. Not that the Nuggets aren't also. I've been slowly falling out of love with football, which seems to happen to me once every few years or so anyway. I'd have to cut the NFL. I'd put the NBA there on the bench, and I'd have to start the NHL. I'm into the hockey now. I'm a convert. It happened.
How would the city of Denver respond to this one?
Oh, because, that's interesting.
So I think they would start the NFL.
Yeah.
I think they would bench the NHL.
I think
they'd send the NBA. They'd option it to the minors.
Yeah.
And then the Rockies, they would designate for assignment.
Oddly enough, and we were kind of talking about this on TDSP today, but historically speaking, I think there's been more support for the Rockies than the Nuggets.
That is true.
And which is really too bad because the Nuggets have had they have very similar existences, you know, where they've had their really rough patches, they've had their couple of runs,
had some stars,
some great star players.
Actually, Nuggets have had less stars than the Rockies.
Yeah,
a lot,
and less overall success actually.
Yeah,
there's also just a deeper baseball history here, and we've talked about it a little bit. While you know people don't think it's a baseball town, in some ways it's like really bizarre because there is a deep, rich baseball history here that some people are really tapped into. And for the people who know the history of the Bears and the Zephyrs, and even going back before that with some of the travel ball teams, Satchel Paige coming here and stuff like that, like people know. But and Wild the Innocent from 93 to 99, the place went absolutely bananas for baseball, which I don't know that the Nuggets ever had that kind of, you know, honeymoon period coming over after being the Rockets and those kinds of things. But
I also wonder how much the fact that Denver, you know, as it being a second city for a lot of people, not in the way that Chicago is, but like, you know, you already have your team, you move to Denver. I wonder how much that could actually help. And we know it does.
Totally.
Certainly going to Coors Field, you go, hey, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm going where the Cubs go. But I'm also going to show up, you know, when the Cardinals go, because I want to really root against them or the Brewers or whoever else. So you're still going to go and you're still going to follow the Rockies too, because you're like, yeah, I want the Cubs to do well, but I might find myself following the Rockies more. I mean, that happened for me.
Where I find most transplants do that, yeah.
Yeah, I began to follow the Rockies a little bit more than I did the Yankees because, you know, they were just right here. And when I think about, you know, going to the ballpark, I was now – Coors Field was my home away from home. So I think that is something, you're right, that ends up helping the Rockies and their fan base in general and get more people out to the ballpark and the overall – you know, appreciation of baseball in this town.
Yeah. It's too bad it isn't often fully rewarded. We'll work on that part. All right. Start, bench, cut. I guess let's go back to another baseball one. Okay. This is like just a theoretical feeling you get to experience, right? This is a magical moment for you. You get to step onto the baseball diamond and just inhabit the body of a fully formed major league caliber player, and you get to experience one feeling. Well, I guess two of the three. You have to decide which of these matter the most to you. So you're getting a hit, striking out a guy, you're scoring the game-winning run. It's so you didn't necessarily do it. You could have been at first base, ball in the gap, maybe second, ball back up the middle. You're just running the bases on that one. But you did. It's a game winner. So you get to step on home plate, and all the dudes come up and slap the shit out of you.
Well, they're probably not going to rip my shirt off. It's going to be whoever.
You never know.
Potentially had the RBI.
Yeah.
And right. once I point them and say, no, don't like rip my shirt. You'll hit the portal, and then I'll get sucked out of this body that I've been transported into.
That's right. You know?
Maybe that's actually what was happening with Jose Altuve.
Going to break the magic. That's right.
Yeah, he was somebody else that had gone Long into Garden. That body.
Yeah.
Well, I've been going first here. Do you want to go and share what you've got first? Because I'm on the fence a little bit.
I can go first with this. Okay. So, and mine might be a little bit unusual because I want to start the strikeout. I want to get a strikeout.
Okay.
There's something about the feeling of throwing that perfectly placed slider low and away or fastball up and in, fooling the hitter, having him swing through, being pissed off, going back to the dugout. There's something about that to me. It's much closer between the other two. I'll go ahead and bench getting a hit and cut the run thing, which is funny because I loved running the bases. There is a unique feeling to running the bases in a baseball game that's not quite like any other sort of running. You know, I was a sprinter. I did the 110 high hurdles and qualified for state in that. So I like to sprint. I did the 4x1 and I played basketball. I like sprinting back and forth, but running the bases, dude, run the bases on a major, just stand at first and watch Trevor Story rip one in the gap, and then you get to run all the way around the bases, touch home plate. So it's hard for me to cut that. but I can still feel in my bones a little bit from when I was a kid, that feeling of when you swing the bat, the ball goes out there, and then it lands, and no one caught it. Safe, baby.
I like what you threw in there, an element that I just started thinking about, this idea that you're not scoring from third base necessarily. Now, that's how I had it in my head. I go, all right, game winning run. I'm coming in. I'm a pinch runner. Yeah, I'm Jeff Hoffman. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Very timely reference there. Like, all right, I'm what every kid dreams about. I'm Jeff Hoffman. Yeah, if you know, you know. But if you're on second base, well, that ups the ante a little bit, because I love those moments of balls hit, it's a single. I'm now watching the runner. I'm looking up at the left fielder, looking at the runner. Oh, wow, this is going to be close. Back and forth as he rounds third base. Maybe even from first base is even more electric as it builds and builds. And he's at second. He's at third. Like, that now kind of ups the ante.
You look up a little bit and you see the third base coach doing this. And you know if you score, you win. Ooh.
All right, that just changed my rankings there. So I was a pitcher in high school, 3-0, senior year. So if we're going to brag about ourselves. Yeah, I had an ERA probably of like 19, but I coincidentally happened to win the – no. Didn't strike out a lot of guys. I was very much a weak contact guy. I almost like can't even remember myself striking out a batter. I mean, it would have been impossible for me to have that much success and yet never miss a bat. But I'm going to put the strikeout last. I'm going to cut the strikeout. I wasn't a very good hitter, hence the pitching. I'm going to put that first. Being up there at home plate, even in a spot that's not where the game's on the line, that's fine. That's fine that it's the game's on the line. Everyone's watching me. Like, that's
get a base hit.
I feel a bigger moment, getting that base hit. You know, feeling that bat, the reverberations coming off of it, you know, rounding first base, feeling good, going back to the bag. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen after that. Is my body transported? I get to take a lead. Doesn't that matter. I did that thing.
That little jog when you've rounded first base and taken those first couple of steps, and then you turn around and you're going back to yourself,
all right, here we go. You got to play it off a little bit. You got to play it cool.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm going to start the hit, but I'm going to bench. I'm actually bumped it up. I thought I was going to cut the game-winning run, but if I'm on first base, and even if I just get put in as a pinch runner because, again, the pitcher ended up walking, whatever it is, on first base, the winning run. Man, that's an exciting moment where, Story had to hit the double in the gap in the first place, and he rightly so should be mobbed. But there's going to be a group of people that spin off.
There's always those couple of guys.
Dude, you did it from first base.
That's right.
Because there's going to be a play at the plate, whatever it is, but your legs got it done. And there's going to be people in the ballpark that remember, Story got the double, but I wasn't watching him. Because it doesn't even matter. After he touches first base, who cares? Right. Was it a single or was it a double?
You're watching the runner the rest of the play, right?
I didn't even know it was a double.
Right.
But I did know that the runner on first came all the way around the score. That was exhilarating. Man, that guy was trucking. So I'm going to start a hit. I'm going to start a hit. This is a weird sentence.
I know.
I'm going to start a hit.
Start a hit, bench a strikeout.
I'm going to bench a run.
And cut a
strikeout.
Love it.
Oof. I would hate to have to do the closed captioning on this episode here. It would.
Right.
By the way, have you follow that account? I just recently started following. It's MLB closed captioning.
Oh, yes. It's fantastic. Yes.
And although the weird words that, you know, someone hears or that a computer ends up hearing.
Yep. The algorithms are like, I'm pretty sure. And you can see what it probably was. Yeah. Okay. I've got two more off baseball ones that I really want to ask you. And they're like, okay, you got to go rapid fire on this one. Chips, crackers, popcorn.
Chips start. Easy.
Okay. I mean, it depends on, I could have seen you being a big like Triscuit guy or being like into like a wheat thin situation.
I'm making a phone call
cracker with a
I'm more inclined to have a dumb cracker with a dumb piece of cheese on it, or a cracker with a little bit of dip than I am popcorn. Popcorn's always there. It's all readily available. But popcorn gets caught in your colon.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm out on that one. It's a great, great diet food, low in points if you're doing the Weight Watchers, which when I was much younger, you know, with dealing with weight issues, popcorn is great for that. So I don't like either of them. I'm really calling other GMs to say, hey, look, what are you going to give me for some crackers? What are you going to give me for some popcorn? And whatever I can get, you know, the other guy will stick around on my bench. But I guess I'll start chips. I will bench crackers, and I'm going to cut popcorn.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to the same here. I like a fancy popcorn. If you're gonna have popcorn, Katie,
what do you mean fancy? Katie, what's fancy? Start.
So like when you get like kettle caramel? Corn, or kettle like a little caramel, nice. A little like or like chocolate. There's like a chocolate popcorn thing that Katie brings home sometimes. I'm like, now this is what's up. And if I'm at a movie, I'm having popcorn. I'm just having popcorn. I just,
true.
You know, having chips or crackers in a movie. What are you, a sociopath? Weirdo?
I've eaten a sandwich, if that means anything, of like, the movie starts around lunch.
Sandwich at a movie?
Did you? It was like around lunchtime, and it was like, well, yeah, I snuck it in.
What was the other option?
A deli slicer. It was like, just sneak it in. But I think the last time I was in a theater, Uncut Gems on Christmas 2019, went and I was like, I don't want regular popcorn. And they had like half caramel, half strawberry or I said, yeah, let's go with that. And I was like, that was a very, very luxurious, decadent. Yeah. It was very decadent.
Luxury
I was like,
popcorn.
But regular popcorn, I'm fine with. And have you ever gone to an Elvis cinema, which we have out here in Colorado. There's like the cheap theater where there are movies that have like, they're going to be out on DVD like next week. But you can go still see them for like maybe $3.
Right.
You get popcorn and they've got all these like flavorings where it's sweet and sour or like chives and onions and all kinds of different barbecue. You can do those and that'll jazz up your popcorn a little bit if you're adventurous.
I mean, that's what you want. But with just normal stuff, I'm the same order as you, basically. I like a solid cracker from time to time. But if you put like a bag of just about any kind of chips near me, I will subconsciously devour it. So it's just kind of like, got to go chips on that one. Okay,
pretzels don't even do it for me. Pretzels, I can't even start pretzels. Pretzels end up getting cut.
And I wanted to give you time for this last non-baseball one before we move on, because I know that this is a subject matter that you take very seriously. Mm. So I've got for you start, bench, cut, Chappelle, Carlin, Pryor. That's Dave Chappelle. I'm saying this for the audience. I know you know. George Carlin.
And Mark Pryor.
Cubs pitcher. And Richard Pryor. And this, I will say, is both – this is unfair because I've already ranked these people on my own list before, and they're my top three comedians of all time. And so I've given Patrick – so it's like you don't know what order yet, and it's neck and neck. But I've given you the three that I consider to be the best stand-up comedians of all time.
What's hard about this is you have their collective work and then you have best work.
Individual moments.
How do you rank those? Because one and two, I feel one has better big moments than the other, but one is maybe hasn't fallen off quite as much over the course of their career. I do know I'm actually cutting Richard Pryor. I never got into Richard Pryor that much. You know, when his comedy comes up on my Sirius XM, you know, I'll leave it on, but never really got into him and fully appreciating him. Enjoy, you know, a lot of his movies. That's apparent. The scene with the job interview with Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live is, of course, legendary. So I understand what he did there, but he kind of, he fell rather precipitously. So for that reason, I'd have to put him last. I'd cut Pryor, and man, it hurts to say that I would actually bench George Carlin because his football versus baseball bit probably is the greatest of all time. And he was
the best. Yeah.
He was great up until the end too, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrote books. I shouldn't really, you know, discount and take points away from his early parts of his career when he was like the hippie weatherman. If you go back that far and you know some of his stuff, yeah, and he was still figuring it out. He's probably my father's favorite comedian. He was a big George Carlin fan. So probably by a hair. And he's not even my favorite comedian. I probably named five guys that I actually enjoy more. Don't think anyone else enjoys them more. But five guys I enjoy more than Dave Chappelle. That being said, if you're talking about the legends, I actually would put, man, this, I don't know if this was going to age well, but I would actually start Dave Chappelle, bench George Carlin, and cut Richard Pryor.
We did it again. Again, it's too much time. And this one, actually, you can check the record on this one. I've got a published list out there somewhere. I think Hardwood and Hollywood still exists if you want to type that in somewhere. But that is, and those were my top three guys. I had Pryor ranked third. I actually, as a personal favorite, and I think I ranked him fourth still, Eddie Izzard is one of my personal favorites of all time. But those are the guys that I had top three. Who are the other ones? Who could I have made it more difficult for instead of Richard Pryor? I wanted to.
I mean, I don't think I would have put anybody over them. As far
personal,
as
stand-up comedy is so tough because there are certain guys you just personal. Have to bow to the legends. But then you could look at a guy like John Mulaney. You go, he's not the greatest stand-up comedian of all time, but if he's your favorite guy going right now, there no one gets to tell you otherwise. He's phenomenal. You know, people throw Bill Burr at me a lot. He's not my favorite, but like he's hot as the sun and still going. You know, so. Before he got super controversial, I believe Louis C.K. was in my fifth spot. There was all that stuff. And I honestly, Robin Williams was in my top 10 as well. Okay. Well,
I think it's almost like if you're introducing comedy to someone or it's an alien or whatever it is, and you're like, look, you can only watch one comedian. They need to have some prolific work. They can't just have one or two albums.
Right.
Theoretically, not that anyone has ever really had, you know, that few and been so successful. I think you picked the right three. Maybe Robert Klein. He's a name that probably doesn't get appreciated enough, but he is in that kind of upper echelon.
Yeah.
But for me, like three of my favorite comedians, and you probably know two of them. You might know all three. Mm-hmm. I don't know how familiar with their work is. It would be Todd Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Goldman and Rory Scovel are my
I don't know the third
top one. Three. Rory Scovel.
I'm very familiar with Todd Barry and Gary Goldman. Very, very dry. Todd Barry's great. He's been on a couple of random things. He did some like Flight of the Conchords stuff. He's a weirdo.
He's in The Wrestler too, oddly enough.
And Goldman was a Last Comic Standing alumni at one point.
Yeah, that was kind of where he got his first break. So I've been lucky enough to see all three of those guys. I was into Pete Holmes for a while. He was great. I'm sure he's still doing big things. Dane Cook. I mean, of course, if you were even alive in the year, 2000, you were a Dane Cook fan. Yeah,
right.
And if you're a zygote, you knew who Dane Cook was. So he had his run. And so he's a legend still, you know, in many ways, but I don't know. I necessarily recommend his work, but yeah, check out Todd Barry, Gary Goldman, and Rory Scovel.
Yeah. I think some of my more off the wall ones are people like Teague Nataro, Cat Williams. Cat Williams is one of those ones you know where you don't know. There's like, that's what you're saying. There are like three extraordinary Cat Williams shows that are beginning to the end genius. And then there are three that are like, who let this person hold a microphone? Like, who decided? He got to, I remember Katie got me like the newest Cat Williams special for my birthday one year, like on DVD. And we sat down and watched it. And we're like, what happened? Like right after he got arrested for riding his scooter on the sidewalk or some dumb shit. But
was it the one where he got beat up by a middle school kid?
Yeah,
that was one. He has a joke tangentially related to video games where he talks about like teaching his son, you know, the value of a dollar. And it's like, look, I can get you the top of the line stuff with one controller. You got to play by yourself, or I could buy you Nintendo with 50 games, two controllers all day, every day. Martin Lawrence, You So Crazy. I actually owned on DVD. That was something that was always on HBO. It seemed like when I was younger, and I watched that beginning to end.
Other obvious ones that were in my top 10, of course, included Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock. I mean, Chris Rock is not, I will say, I haven't liked a Chris Rock special in maybe 10 or 15 years. His most recent stuff is garbage. But go back to the 90s and early 2000s. He was the king of the world. You can't, he was the best.
And now he's directing a Saw sequel?
Yeah, what is that?
Okay.
What is going
he had,
on?
He had a play on Broadway too.
What?
The MF-er in the hat. He's out there doing again a bunch of different things, and you gotta respect that. But
do what you gotta do. I'm out there doing a few different things. One of the things that I'm doing is spending a little bit of money on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, placing some bets, having some fun, taking the over-unders on total runs in Rockies games, a little bit over-under on strikeouts, maybe picking a guy to hit a home run here and there, picking for or against guys to get hits, all kinds of stuff that you can bet on there. We got NHL and NBA playoffs coming up very soon, so there'll be plenty of things to bet on there. You probably won't get like a lot of great odds in terms of how much money you're going to make per bet, but still bet on the Avs. I think they're going to do well.
Bragging rights. That's the other thing that yeah. people don't realize is when you talk about like, dude, I'm on a streak. I've won seven in a row. And yeah, maybe you're mainly picking favorites, but that's bragging worthy, right? It's worthy totally. Of bragging about.
Big fight coming up this weekend. It's not who it says on here because, as Patrick told us, Nate Diaz is out. Someone else?
263, yeah.
Fighting. So, yeah, either way, this weekend's fight, if you pick a main card fighter to win and you use the promo code DNVR when you sign up, you'll turn $1 into $100. Again, just pick a main card fighter to win, place $1 down, and if that main card fighter does win, well, then you make $100. Watch the fist fly this weekend and use that promo code DNVR on select main card fighters for a limited time only. A DraftKings Sportsbook must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
And don't forget, Michael Chandler still plus 110 over Charles Oliveira. So that's the big main event at UFC 262, the Chan Man.
There you go. All that stuff. And yes, indeed, Will, I'm with you as well. Lewis Black, I can't remember. I had him like in the 20s or 30s, but another personal favorite, a fantastic stand-up comedian. All those stand-up comedians.
Mitch Hedberg. There's going to be guys that if we forget, I'm going to hate myself for. Yeah. Mitch Hedberg. And you know who I've just started to kind of get into? Like I just didn't like him, I guess, when I was younger. But probably because of Mitch Hedberg and his witticism, I'm now like, you know what, Stephen Wright? I'm in. Stephen I need to Wright. Go back and check out your stuff. Just turned it off right away. I'm like, I don't. Nope. Now I'm like, you know what? Cool. I'm willing to listen to you.
Accidentally and spilled I like spot remover on my dog. He disappeared. Love Stephen Wright. Dimitri Martin in that same class of right. joke tellers, right? Those sort of one-liners. That you don't really need. It's not the big long story like Eddie Izzard will tell a story for 20 minutes about the Spanish Inquisition or whatever.
I went to high school with his sister. He's from my area. He's from the Toms River area in New Jersey. That's right.
That sounds right. That all tracks.
They look a lot alike too.
Yeah. I love Dimitri Martin. He was near the back end of my list for guys that are like doing well, like with John Mulaney and Flight of the Conchords and like people who are like awesome like right now but haven't. By the way, I've got to do this too because I don't think we've mentioned any women, and there were a lot of women on the list.
Maria Bamford,
Ellen.
Did you say Ellen? Joan Ellen Rivers, DeGeneres stuff.
Ellen DeGeneres stand-up comedy. If you've only seen the show, you go to YouTube and type in Ellen DeGeneres stand-up comedy. I think she was 9th or 10th on my list.
I mean, I still do. But
Joan Rivers, most people know her, you know, as the old lady who hosted like red carpet shows or whatever, but she was hilarious.
She was Lisa Lampanelli long before Lisa Lampanelli tried to be much of anything.
Yeah, right. So Maria Bamford and Tig Notaro are two of my all-time favorites as well. So yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell had some good bits when she was younger. I was just talking about one recently about going to a bridal shower and someone wrapped up all of the different spices. So each and every time she, you know, the bride would open one up, they'd go, "Ooh, paprika." And he was like a little kid. I was like, that's funny. I don't know what paprika is, but I just know that's very funny.
Kathleen Madigan is on my list, somewhere in the middle range in the 30s or something. She's
Ali Wong's special on Netflix from a couple years ago is
I haven't seen as much of her. Yeah. Oh, and this was all before I had seen. Oh shoot! Now I'm thinking of the name of the special. Nanette. What is her name? She's got three that are on Netflix that are fantastic, and I can't recommend them highly enough. But now I'm forgetting.
Might be too woke for me. I don't know. It kind of scares me off. I hear maybe too woke.
Hannah Gadsby. It's not that, but if you appreciate stand-up comedy and the form and the ability to tell a story and be real and be raw, but also get people to laugh at things that are maybe not what you would think. That getting people to laugh at tragedy is a special skill.
Right.
And for her to go, it kind of reminds me, you know, Teague Nataro. There's a great documentary about her. I think you find it on Hulu or Netflix or whatever, about, you know, her most famous stand-up special that she did was when she came out and announced, "I've got cancer." Like she just found out.
Yeah. She just gotten it.
Shayna, Bo Burnham. Yes. A million times. Yes. Bo Burnham. I think Ricky he was like Gervais. 12th or 13th.
Ricky Gervais and Burnham is sneaky great.
Top 15 guys for me as well.
Wanda Sykes, I liked a lot for a while. Amy Schumer, you know, was great. She had her time period.
Yeah.
She may need to evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
To stick around, but she's great.
Who's the gal who does that kind of show? I'm usually not big in it. Sarah Silverman was on my
Eliza
list.
Eliza Schlesinger?
No one she's... like her, though. Shoot. Like, she's okay.
Kathy Griffin. No.
Not mine. Not my speed. Now we're just naming stand-up.
She had a period of time where I enjoyed her stuff a lot.
Yeah.
When she had a show on
Nikki Glaser.
I'm
into what Nikki Glaser's doing these days because it's like shocking but also clever. It doesn't have to just be the one. So I like what Nikki Glaser's about.
You might like this comedian named Aparna Nancharla. Yes, those are two words. Aparna Nancharla. She's interesting. Yeah. She's good. She's slowly starting to grow on the indie scene. She's been around for a while. You check her out. I think you might like dig her. Yeah.
And since we've wrote off the show on the subject, we of course have to shout out all of our favorite local comedian guys. I've been watching a lot of Adam Caton Holland recently, actually. Dude's hilarious. He's got like all these characters, and I've got to ask him sometime. We're going to have him on the show at some point. We're going to make sure that happens. About like if he's got like a town of people in his head where he just pulls these characters from, because it's so like all the stuff that he does. We know our guy Brant Tobler, who's been on the show before. Phenomenal stuff. The Denver comedy scene is hotter than it had been. There's a guy named Steve AG, not to be confused with Steve AJ, who's a different person. Also very good black guy here from the Denver area who's gone out to LA and is doing some big things. So
I think Steve AJ is
very not
AJ.
I did it backwards. Yeah, damn it. Yeah. Steven AJ. Damn it. I did. I flipped them. I totally flipped them. Okay. So Shayna's got your back with Aparna Nancharla.
Nancharla. Also, Sam Talent is a local guy, and I am very much interested in reading his book, Running the Light, all about almost basically Doug Stanhope, I think. That's his character in the book that it's based around. And I've seen that around on a lot of different sites and podcasts. He's been getting a lot of love for that. So shout out to Sam Talent.
Yeah.
Two L's, so it's not a stage name.
And shout out to Derek Strope, our guy who is doing a lot of great stuff here on the comedy work scene, the comedy scene in Denver, and DNVR member. So you got to appreciate that. Absolutely fantastic stuff out of those guys. So let us know yours. That was a fun way to end the show talking about. I do have to do one last one of these, and it's too perfect because it all puts a smile on our face when we listen to stand-up comedy. Best way to get the best smile, head over to our friends at Green Mountain Dental, just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver. Just right there in Lakewood, man, they take care of you. They treat you like family. They'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. And you'll get that big old smile on your face. So do check them out at Green Mountain Dental today. We appreciate you all hanging out with us. Let us know who your favorite stand-up comedians are. Let us know which Colorado Rocky you'd most like to meet and or see slash hear on this here podcast show. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll keep watching this Cincinnati Reds series and see if it keeps being as entertaining as game one is. It'll keep you up all night.
They're saving Jeff Hoffman for the final game too.
That's right. That's saving him. The real dramatics. So got three more between these two teams. So let's keep it going. Let's keep having fun. Make sure you're following everyone on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at Michaela E. Perkins, at DNVR underscore Rockies. And of course, you've got to give us a subscribe at thednvr.com so you get all the things, the written content, the Discord, the hat, the shirt, the mask, the thing, the stuff. You know what it is. You got to get it done. Make sure you're subscribed. We appreciate each and every one of you for continuing to be absolutely awesome out there. We promise we'll continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.